In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So the end of the epistle today is beautiful, isn't it? It just really has a lot of strength to it. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We're celebrating Jesus Christ. We do every day, but especially on Sunday, his resurrection. And on this Sunday, in addition to his resurrection, which is every Sunday, every day, we are celebrating the restoration of the icon. We think we can't, but God says you can. He says you can because I became you, and I made you able to do it. I've restored the image in you. You're clean now. You can do anything. You can become good. So the application is, if you can become good, then do it. Doesn't make any sense to be able to be good and to wallow in filth. That makes no sense whatsoever. If you really understand who you are, how you were made, and that the Lord remade you in the incarnation, and of course, in his resurrection, ascension, sending the Holy Spirit so that you could have the Holy Spirit abide in you to tell you what things you need to know, to guide you and correct you. If you know that stuff, then you could think, just like the scripture says, we're more than conquerors. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We got proof all over the walls of people that did amazing things. We pray to St. Panteleimon in 11 every week. Have you ever read his life? He was a pagan. And then he just came to Christ. His mother was Christian, but his father wasn't. He healed a boy who was dead by snake bite, and because of his faith. And then he was baptized after that. And then he was baptized in blood after that. And the tortures that he overwent were amazing. You could tell the stories of all these saints. There's just amazing stories of all of them, of how they endured incredible things, became incredible people. We're going to read the life of St. Mary in 5 weeks, right? 4 weeks now? That a human being could do such a thing, go from such depravity to become like an angel. That's because of the Lord's incarnation. It applies to you as much as it applies to her or to any of these saints on the wall. But then again, I don't think it's quite right to say they're on the wall, because they're with us, right? They're not just on the wall. The whole church is with us right now. The whole assembly of witnesses. And since we have this assembly of witnesses, what's keeping us? All we need to do is set aside sin. It's a difficult thing to do. Sometimes there's repetitive things we have trouble dealing with, but we can do it. It's been done. All the evidence is before you. We can do it, but you got to try harder. The problem is we don't try hard enough. That's really our problem. We don't try hard enough. And we listen to the voice inside of us that kind of tells us either we can't do it or that we'd rather do something else. Because after all, we're only human. We need a little comfort here and there. The comfort is that the Lord has made us renewed. That should be very comfortable to you. It's a beautiful thing. That's what we're celebrating today. That's the triumph of Orthodoxy. That's the beauty of Orthodoxy. We understand so much of this. I'll tell you a little autobiographical information. So I was searching for the truth like a young man does, right? I guess some young men don't do it, but I used to think everybody did it, but I've learned that not everybody does. But I was searching for it, and I thought I found it in this idea of this conversion experience like Protestants have, right? You ask Jesus in your heart, and you're forgiven your sins, and then it's all good, you know? And I found it wasn't all good, because I wanted to change in certain ways, and I couldn't quite do it. But the theology was, you had these sins, God was angry, he punished his son, now you're good. But that didn't make any sense to me. And so that's what eventually led me to the Orthodox faith. We understand that we're bad. It's okay to say you're bad. It's true. Come on, you can say it. You can say it maybe when the room is dark and you're alone. You're bad. You do a lot of bad stuff. But God came to make you good. So even though you do bad stuff, God loves you so much that he became like you, took on every single attribute you have, and became perfected. He perfected his flesh. He perfected his flesh so much that it transcended death. It overcame death and rose to the heavens with his Father, where he is now. Of course, he's everywhere. He's wherever he wishes to be. And so this could happen to you. This should energize you. Do you feel its energy? I hope you do. I hope you feel its energy. Now, you should still be thinking about your sins. That's the beauty of orthodoxy, this incredible mixture of knowing we're sinful, saying we're sinful, and yet exalting that the Lord is going to save us. It's all over our prayers. I tell you about it all the time. Go look at it. It's everywhere. You can hardly find a psalm that doesn't say something like that. The Our Father is like that. The prayer of St. Ephrem is like that. The morning and evening prayers are like that. We're basically saying, Lord, I'm terrible, but help me. And he will, because he became like you. Do we have is the icon like that? Yeah, see, this is not technically, I don't think, sweet kissing. It's another name, but that's like the sweet kissing icon, right? Where the Lord is kissing the cheek of the Theotokos. You know what that means? Do you understand the theological meaning of that? Of course, a baby kisses the cheek of his mother, right? Because he loves his mother. Well, everybody does that. Every baby does that. But the theological meaning of this baby doing that is that he loves humanity. He loves humanity intimately. Intimately, so intimately, they became a human being with all of its problems. And then he fixed them. So there's nothing in you that's unfixable. Because you can look at the lives of these saints. Man, there are some scoundrels, former scoundrels on these walls. Absolutely. Some real rogues, but they became holy because God touched their heart and they believed that since the Lord took on their flesh and changed it, their flesh can be changed. They believed it and they lived according to it. And they went through the bumps and the grinds and the difficulty of life and the sins and the virtues and struggled to get better. But it was always because inside them they believed. Some of you don't believe yet. You got to believe. And you know how you find how you believe? You don't believe by saying, okay, I'm going to believe. I'm going to sit in the corner. I'm going to say, I believe, I believe, I believe 50 times every day. That's not going to work. The way you believe is by experiencing. And you experience just by living life, struggling, falling down, getting up, saying your prayers, sometimes not saying your prayers, struggling to say your prayers. Sometimes your prayers are kind of, you know, not very attentive. Sometimes you don't feel them much, but you stick with it. You work at it. And God starts to come into your heart, and you feel him. And even if you're a sinner, you feel him, and you know that you can get better. That's true Christian anthropology. That's true Christianity. It's beautiful. That's what we're celebrating today. So all of us bad people, we can become good people. We can be put on the wall too. That's what you're supposed to be. All of you. All of us are supposed to be put on the wall. All of us are supposed to be saints. Every single one of us. And we can be. Because the Lord took on our nature. All of it. All of the attributes. All of the properties. All of this is distinctive properties. I love sometimes the language in our liturgical language. The distinctive properties. I never heard anything about distinctive properties when I was in Campus Crusade for Christ. They didn't know anything about that. But we know about it. So we know that we have a path. Not just of forgiveness, but of perfection. We're on that road. Glory be to God. I hope you feel some energy today. I hope you take that energy, and I hope you use it. Because you're coming up with temptations. Great Land is always going to be full of something. There's always something that happens. In my life, a dear person to me, there was a very bad thing that happened just before Great Land. You don't know this person. And so it started early for me. So I'm thinking, okay, you know how you have that superstition, you know, you see one copperhead, you think there's two others, you know? That's the idea. Usually, I've seen one copperhead, I only see one, because I'm not even anywhere near the area when to see another one. But supposedly you see two other copperheads. And bad things come in threes, you know? But it's not superstition that leads me to know that there will be great temptations during Great Lent for you and for me. It's always that way. So in the midst of knowing that we're made for a purpose, we're made and bought with a price, and we're precious in God's eyes, so precious that he kisses, shall we say, our cheek. He loves humanity so much he became like us. In the midst of all that, we're doing dumb stuff, and sometimes terrible stuff. But God will help us. That's the beauty. Just keep working at it with God helping you. Because everything helps with God helping, right? Nothing. We can't do anything on our own. He had to become a human being to raise us up because we couldn't get it right. But he got it right. That's what we're celebrating. It's beautiful. It should motivate you. Maybe this week you'll forgive somebody a little bit more easily. Maybe you'll pray with a little more fervor. Maybe you'll just button your lip when you feel like saying a curse word. Because you're redeemed. Because he became like you. Because he has raised up the image that fell of old. That's the image inside you. So let's start living like it. God bless you. Amen.